But I ask you to turn your Bible with me here this evening, if you would please, as we did last Sunday evening, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 15, and we'll read down to verse number 20, and we continue on with the message we began last Sunday evening, the broad study we started about a month or so ago, Take Heed and Beware. The first one that we've considered, Take Heed and Beware of Vainglory. We now are in the second study on the matter, Take Heed and Beware of False Prophets. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word here, please, this evening. Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, near the close of that sermon, stated in Matthew 7, verse 15, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Take heed and beware of false prophets. Now that's in the Sermon on the Mount, near the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. You don't need to turn there, but near the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus was preaching on the Mount of Olives, commonly called then the Olivet Discourse. And there in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, He added a warning. Now this, what we just read was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, about 3.5 years. Now as He's coming near the end of it in Matthew 24, He gives warning concerning the extension of the church age, and He says this to His disciples. Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then if you go down, Matthew 24, verse 11, And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Beware of false prophets. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll proceed then with the second truth of the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us tonight as we take up and continue to hear the warning that You have for us concerning false teachers and false teaching that is in the world all around us. That we would beware, that we would be alert, that we would be on our guard, that we would avoiding of such things and be separating ourselves from it and not allow it to influence us in a wrong direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday evening, we took up a consideration of definition. What are false prophets? What does it mean? What does it mean when we talk about false prophets? And we took note of the fact that a true prophet or a prophet of God, a true prophet, is one who is commissioned of God as a messenger of God to deliver God's message to the people. A false prophet, then, is one who claims to be commissioned of God, but is not. One who claims to have a message from God, but does not. One who claims that his or her message is God's message, but it is not. In fact, we noted, and just quickly, a couple of the verses about that in Jeremiah 14, verse 14, because false prophets didn't just begin with the church. False prophets have been around all through the Old Testament. The devil's been sending forth his false ministers from the beginning. Just as God sends forth true ministers, so the devil sends forth false ones. And so in the Old Testament, we have the definition of false prophets given to us in Jeremiah 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in My name. I sent them not. A true prophet is sent of God. False prophets come and act like they're sent from God, but in truth, I sent them not, the Lord says. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. So they come and they say they're sent from God and they say they have a message from God and that their message to you is God's message to you because they got it from God. But God says here, I didn't send them, I didn't command them, and I didn't speak a message to them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Jeremiah 23, verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. A true prophet commissioned of God, a false prophet commissioned of the devil, sending themselves. A true prophet bringing the message of God, a false prophet bringing a message of their own, claiming it's from God, but it's really of their own. That's the falsehood. The falsehood is their claim. I'm from God and here's God's message. But in fact, God did not send them and they don't have God's message. But we come now this evening to a second truth to be considered. Having considered the biblical definition of false prophets and teachers, we now need to consider the certainty of danger. With the opening line of Matthew 7, verse 15, our Lord Jesus Christ warns us to beware of false prophets. The word beware here means to watch carefully with guarded caution against any possible influence that they might have upon our hearts, upon our lives, upon our homes, upon our ministries. Beware of them. Be continually guarded. Be carefully watching and cautiously guarded, because when they come deceptively to influence you away from God. Yet we might ask the question, to what extent might we encounter the spiritual danger of false prophets and false teachers? Do they represent kind of a minor danger that we might encounter only on a rare occasion? So certainly we need to be warned of this occasional threat that might be upon our life, but it's a rare thing. It's not going to happen often. In fact, some of us might even live our whole lifetime through and not ever encounter false teachers and not ever encounter false teaching. Is that the case? Or do they represent a major danger? Yeah, major danger. Well, in truth, false prophets and false teachers and the false teaching that they bring represent a spiritual danger of great significance that has multiplied all around us in this world. God's own Word reveals that to us. Our Lord Himself gave warning, and we've noted it at the introduction time in Matthew 24, verse number 11, saying, "And many, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." There shall be many of them, and their influence will be great. It will be significant. It will be so great and so significant that they will deceive multitudes of people. Let us clearly understand that the danger is real. This danger is certain, and this danger is great. This is not a minor matter. This is not some warning that is valuable but kind of off into the corner, something that we need to be aware of but nothing that is of any serious central priority in our lives, because most of us won't have to deal with the matter. Oh no, it's just the opposite. Every believer, I believe, based upon the way the Word of God reveals things, every believer, at least from the time of the church age onward to this day, has had to face false teaching and false teachers somewhere throughout their lifetime. And many of us, multiple times. Indeed, we must clearly understand that the danger of false teachers and the danger of false teaching is a certain danger. Not a minor danger, not a rare occasion danger, not a possible danger, but only a low possibility, a low percentage possibility. Oh no, it's a certainty. If you haven't faced false teaching already, and I dare say that everyone in this room, or very close to everyone in this room, already has. How many of you would say, "Preacher, I'm already aware that into my life people have tried to influence teaching that is contrary to the Word of God"? Sure. It's probably true that almost every hand, and maybe every hand in the room, could be raised. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 30, the Apostle Paul gave warning unto the pastoral leadership for the church at Ephesus, saying, "For I know this, that after my departing shall, not might, but shall, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Notice how they're not guiding disciples toward Christ. They're guiding disciples after themselves. You see, throughout our time upon this earth, we shall certainly encounter false prophets and false teachers and their influences of false teaching. It's a certainty. The Apostle Paul said, "I know that this is going to happen." I'm not just viewing it as a possibility. I'm viewing it as a certainty. This is going to happen. There are going to be grievous wolves, false teachers that seek to come in from the outside. There are going to be those that rise up within your own ranks, and in both cases, seeking to lead people away from Christ, after themselves, after their own doctrine, after their own ways. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, God's Word gives the warning, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." What does it mean when the Spirit speaketh expressly? Now, I think everything in the Word of God is the Spirit speaking, right? Amen? But the Apostle Paul says, "Now I want you to understand that of everything the Holy Spirit has said, here's one of those things that He's been very, very precise and careful about to make absolutely certain that we are aware of it. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." Well, what does that make the source of false doctrine then? The devil and his forces of evil, the angelic forces of evil, the unrighteous angels that follow after him. He says, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of," just in case we didn't get it the first round, right? "Doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, I just want you to understand the warning that he's trying to communicate here. If we were to take an example of this, in fact, if I could get a couple of helpers, I'll get Wesley here. Now, the helpers are all going to be negative now, all right? All right, so I need one more. Can you even move? All right, we got Dylan. Dylan's on his way. I said it's going to be negative. Dylan figured he could fit in with that too. Wesley and Dylan figured they were perfect. One of you has to represent the devil. You know how sometimes I have one of you represent God? Not this time. One of you has to represent the devil, and the other one has to represent one of the devil's ministers teaching falsehood. You got that one? All right. Here's what we got. Wesley, I want you to stand about that middle group, and that's the devil. All right? Now, the devil, I want you to teach your minister false doctrine. You teach him false doctrine. There it is. You teach it to him. Now, he turns and he teaches me false doctrine. There it is. All right. Now, he's teaching me this false doctrine. Thank you. So if I follow him and he's following the devil, who ultimately am I following? Thank you. You both can walk all the way to your seats. See, this is the thing he's trying to warn us about here. This false teaching has its source in the devil. You follow a false teacher, he is following the devil. So you are following him, following the devil. It's also interesting that when the Apostle Paul talks about a true teacher, himself being an example of that, he said to the believers, follow me as I follow Christ. There, the illustration could be the precise opposite. You have God, who's teaching the minister of God, who's teaching the people. And as you follow the minister of God, who's following God, who are you ultimately following? Following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're following the Lord our God. So if you follow a true teacher of God, that leads you to follow God. But you follow a false teacher of any kind, he did not get his teaching from God. He got his teaching from the devil. And you follow him in that false teaching, you're following the devil. Is this a serious matter? Is following the devil, if I stood up here and said, now listen to me, there are some of you that might follow the devil, you'd say, wow, that's, woo. That's kind of a pretty hefty accusation. But if we follow false teachers, that's what we're doing. We're following the devil. That's the source for false teaching. It's opposite of the Word of God, which is following God. Oh, we need to be warned. And it's a certain thing. The devil is out there, and he being out there is doing everything he can to catch our ear and catch our heart and draw us away from the truth of God. I just read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, God's Word gives warning yet again. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, the Apostle Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. He said, over time, this matter will get worse and worse and worse and worse. So if it is continually each generation become worse than the generation before, how bad is it now? Oh, yes. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, God's Word, sorry, that's the one I just read. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, God's Word gives warning yet again. But there were, talking about the time period of the Old Testament, there were false prophets also among the people, among God's people, the Israelites in the Old Testament time. And then he says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be, not there might be, but there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Whoa! But see, that's just the point, isn't it? False doctrine is sourced in the devil, which means that it is damnable. It's devilish. He says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, sad to say, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Not only will there be many false teachers in the world around us, but sadly, there will be many who are caught in their web. But the warning of the Lord in Matthew and the warning of the Holy Spirit in these passages of the New Testament epistles are all intended to warn us so that we are not the ones caught in their web. If you beware, if you'll be alert, if you'll be on your guard, if you'll examine everything by the Word of God and only follow that which is truly matching up to the teaching of God's holy Word, then you don't have to be caught. But if you're not a student of the Word and you're not guarded against the teachings that come at you in the world, you will be caught. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, the Word of God declares, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many, many Antichrists. Many Antichrists who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Sorry, I jumped passages there. You have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, the Apostle John said we know that it is the last time at the end of the first century. If it was already the last time at the end of the first century, what is it now? Would I have to say that it is the last of the last of the last of the last time? Yeah, we're getting really close to the end, aren't we? In the same, or in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7, God's Word says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Because of that, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 gives the instruction, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every teaching. Believe not every teacher. Don't believe everything that comes down the line at you." The reason you should not believe every spirit, every teaching, every teacher, the reason you should not is because of this. He says, "But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Not every teacher you encounter, not even every teacher you encounter that holds up the Word of God and reads forth the Word of God, not every one of them is going to teach you the truth. Not every teacher, not every preacher, not every spiritual, quote-unquote, leader that stands in a church behind a pulpit is going to teach you the truth. Not even everyone that stands in a Baptist church behind the pulpit is going to teach the truth. It is our responsibility to examine the teacher and the teaching to make sure that it is according to the Word of God. Do you recall what made the Bereans more noble than those in Thessalonica? What was it that they did? Those in Thessalonica, the Bible tells us, we don't have an epistle written specifically to the Bereans. We have two epistles in the Word of God that were originally written specifically to the believers at Thessalonica. And the Apostle Paul commended them that when he came to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he writes to them and he says, "When we came to you, you received that which we gave unto you as it was in truth the very Word of God. You received it with all readiness of mind." But in the book of Acts, where it gives us the record of Paul's travels, after he left Thessalonica, he went through another city, he comes to Berea. And he begins to teach those at Berea. And the Bible tells us that they received that which Paul taught with all readiness of mind as well. But it says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily, not period, like they had their daily devotions. But no, the specific search that they did was this. Search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, who was the teacher teaching them at that time? A God-commissioned apostle by the name of Paul, right? Yet, they made sure that even one who claimed to be an apostle of God. Now, in this case, the Apostle Paul was in truth an apostle of God. But they made sure that what he taught them was according to the Word of God. Because if Paul ever taught them something contrary to the Word of God, it would have been proof positive he was a false teacher and a false apostle. And the New Testament does refer to false prophets. It refers to false teachers, and it refers to false apostles. All issues that they were already encountering in the first century church, as well as false witnesses and false brethren. But when they examined what Paul taught, what did they find? It was according to God's Word. But Paul, Luke, under inspiration, writes that Paul's spirit and the Holy Spirit's viewpoint of it was that they were more noble in that they made sure everything they were taught was according to God's Word. Amen? And you know what is also more noble of that? One day the Apostle Paul would move on. He would move to another city in another place. And other teachers would come into that church to teach them. But a church that is always examining the Scriptures and always making sure that what is taught is found in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what teacher comes in, they will be checking every one of them out. Amen? Because it's always possible for the devil to try to insert one that's false. Isn't that what Paul told the church at Ephesus? I know that after my departing, I know it, that after my departing will come grievous wolves from the outside and false teachers from the inside to lead you astray. I know it's going to happen. By the way, brethren, I know it too. I know that in this time and in this world and in this society and we have so much more media to present false teaching into our lives now than they had back then. I mean, they had plenty of false teachers and false teaching back then, but the media has expanded. And I don't just mean ABC, CBS, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the various medium by which false teaching can come into your life. Books that you pull off a shelf and read, television, radio, newspaper, internet, all of these are sources for truth, but they're also sources for falsehood. And I'm here to tell you, if you spend very much time on the internet, there's plenty of falsehood. If you spend enough time on the television, I'm here to tell you, there's plenty of falsehood. You say, well, I only watch the Christian channel. There's plenty of falsehood, even on the Christian channel. I only listen to Christian radio. There's plenty of falsehood on so-called Christian radio. Just because the word Christian's tacked onto it doesn't mean make it true. What makes it true is if it's according to the Word. Remember, we talked about this last week, and that concluding passage in Isaiah where it says that if it's not according to this Word, according to this book, then there's no light in them. Everything must be examined by the Word of God. So 1 John 4 verse 1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because the reason you have to do this, the reason you have to beware, the reason you have to be on your guard, the reason you have to examine everything by the Word is because the devil has sent forth many false prophets and false teachers out into the world. In Jude 1 verses 3 and 4, the Word of God gives us this charge, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. I wanted to write of the blessings and the wonders of God's grace in giving us salvation. When that was my desire of heart to sit down and write, it was needful for me, he goes on to say, to write unto you not what I wanted to write, and to exhort you not what I wanted to write, but to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. I wanted to write about the blessings of salvation. What I needed to write was about how important it was to contend for the faith because of the false teaching in the world. He goes on to say in Jude 1, 3 and 4, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Some verses later in Jude 1, 17 and 18, he gives further warning, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit that is the Spirit of God. Indeed, brethren, as we draw to a close here this evening, the wicked one, our adversary, the devil, is certainly motivated to send forth a great multitude of his false ministers to multiply falsehood and thereby to corrupt the hearts and lives of God's people. He is no doubt motivated to do that. Shortly after God created Adam and Eve, the devil was motivated to meet with them and seek to deceive them away from God's truth. And he's been working that same pattern ever since. Yet the sad truth is that these false ministers will always find some to follow after their falsehood. That's the sad truth. Oh, it's understandable that the devil is motivated to send forth false ministers to multiply falsehood and thereby try to turn the hearts of God's people. That's not at all a surprise. But the sad truth is that they will always find an audience. They will always find people that will seek to follow after their falsehood. And the reason is because there are many, even among God's own people, who prefer self-will over God's will. And you know, those who prefer self-will over God's will can be easily caught by false doctrine. Because false doctrine says, you don't have to do it God's way. You can do it your own way, and you can be okay with that. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay with God. God's okay with us. Is God okay with us no matter what? Are we okay with God no matter what? No. You see, the sad truth is they will always find an audience even among God's own people because many among God's own people prefer appeasement over conviction. How many of us coming to church today had sin in our lives sometime this past week? I'm not saying you hadn't dealt with it already. Maybe you had already dealt with it. But sometime this past week, your life had been made unclean by sin. That would be all of us, I do believe. And you see, the flesh says, well, I'd like a preacher that makes me feel comfortable. And I'm here to tell you, rebuke, reproof, conviction is not comfortable. It's not comfortable. But because there's sin in our lives and because we commit sin, we need rebuke. We need reproof. We need correction. We need conviction. Amen? We need it. But you see, false teachers will stand up and say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. You're at peace with God. Everything's good between you and God. That's the truth of the Old Testament where those passages are. The message from the false prophets to the children of Israel, God's true prophets were saying, God's angry with you. God's angry with your sin. God's going to bring judgment. He's going to bring the Babylonians. He's going to bring judgment from the outside to conquer you and to discipline you for your sin. And the false preachers, the false prophets of that time were standing up and saying, listen, none of that's going to happen. It's going to be peace in our time. Peace, peace. And God says, oh, they're crying peace, but there's no such thing because you're not at peace with me. And you're not at peace with me because of my sin. But the problem is the false teachers will not tell you there's sin. Repent. True preachers will tell you that, but not false ones. And there'll be plenty among God's people that'll follow that way because there's plenty among God's own people who prefer appeasement of their lives and of their emotional condition and of their preferred walk over conviction of sin. Oh, they'll find, sad to say, but they'll find a following among God's own people even. Because there are many among God's people who prefer ease over faithfulness. A true preacher of God will stand up and say, God not only says deal with your sin, but God says be faithful doing this for Him and doing this for Him and doing this for Him. And people who don't want that, who'd rather just say, hey, I like to go to church once a week and feel like I've fulfilled my duty and I want the preacher to stand up and make me feel comfortable in life. And I don't want him to tell me I can't do this and can't do that. I don't want him to tell me I have to do this and I have to do that. I want to just take my ease. There's plenty of God's own people who prefer self-will over God's will, who prefer appeasement over conviction, who prefer ease over faithfulness. God's own Word talks about it concerning God's people in the Old Testament. Isaiah 30 verses 9 through 11 gives the report that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Don't do that. Listen, no. Whoa. Isaiah, Jeremiah, hold on now. Don't preach to us right things. But rather, the verse goes on to say, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Smooth things, things that make us feel good. Don't preach conviction. Don't preach rebuke and reproof. Don't preach against sin. Preach smooth things. Make us feel good. Come on now. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside. Then they encourage the preacher. Preacher, get out of the way of truth. Turn aside out of the path of God. Come on, preacher. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Don't bring God in front of us. Come on, we don't want that. We want self-will, not God's will. Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31, the Lord God Himself exclaimed concerning the children of Israel, God's own people of that time, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Yet, you might say, that's Old Testament, preacher. We're in the New Testament now. Okay. So let me inform you from the New Testament scriptures that the nature of God's people in this time of the New Testament isn't any different. God's Word in the New Testament warns us as well, or reveals to us as well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, brethren, I believe in that context he's talking about God's people in God's church. Because the way it's worded, it talks about the preacher preaching. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. And then it says, for the time will come somewhere in the future when they will stop enduring sound doctrine. Now, if that's true, what had they been enduring until then? What had they been enjoying? What had they been learning? What had they been walking in up to that point? Sound doctrine. And if they were people following sound doctrine for a time, they were genuine believers. But even genuine believers can get to the point where we don't want any more of that. Preach to us smooth things, preacher. Preach to us lies. Don't preach the authority of God. Don't preach the fear of the Lord. Come on. Preach to us that we can have it our own way. Preach Burger King. That's the one that said that, or was that McDonald's? Burger King, that's what I thought. Preach Burger King, preacher. Don't preach God. Preach you can have it your way. Whatever you like, God's okay with it. By the way, He's not. God's only okay with God's way. Any other way, He's against. Word of God, what does it say? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, after their own desires, after their own self-will, shall they heap to themselves teachers. They will go looking for teachers that will appease their self-will. And when they find teachers like that, they won't be satisfied with one. The Word of God says that they will heap to themselves teachers that will appease their self-will. As if there's truth in numbers. By the way, there's not truth in numbers. Numbers might have truth, but there's not truth in numbers. There's only truth in God. And even if God stands alone, He still stands on truth. Right? Having itching ears, having a desire for their ears to be appeased, to hear what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Why? Because after a period of time, they got sick of the sound teaching of the Word of God. They got sick of real convicting teaching and preaching. They got sick of real commandment and authority of God's Word saying, thus saith the Lord, here you must walk, here you must go if you want to be right with God. They got sick of that, and they don't want to endure that anymore, and they don't want to follow that anymore, and they want to instead have the smooth things that appease them and make them feel like they can do whatever they want and be okay with it. And that's why, sad to say, as the devil sends forth a multitude of ministers to multiply falsehood, even among God's people, there will be many who will follow their pernicious ways. But we don't have to be a part of that. Amen? We can say no. And that's why God said, that's why Jesus Christ said, that's why the Holy Spirit through the New Testament epistles said, beware of false prophets and false teachers and false teaching. Don't go there. Don't follow them. Be more noble like the Bereans. And follow the way of truth. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would help us. Help us. Help us, number one, to beware, to be on our guard. But help us, number two, to also recognize that the more we lean towards self-will, the more open we are to be deceived by falsehood. It's not just a matter of intellectually battling truth against falsehood. But it's a matter of spiritually battling. And the only way that we can do that is by walking in the Spirit, walking after God's will rather than our own. Protect us, Lord, but help us to understand our greatest protection is by simply walking in obedience to You, to Your Spirit, to Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.